in him.
Well, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you what, folks, if we don't cry out, the rocks will. That's how bad the earth wants to cry out and sing God's praises and tell of his goodness, that the rocks, inanimate objects, will develop a voice to speak out. I don't know about you. You know, after I learned what a rock was in the Marine Corps, what they used to tell us is go out in the parking lot and pick up your ID card out of the parking lot, meaning pick up a rock. That's what you are. You're as dumb as a rock. And I've often thought about that when I hear about that. The rocks will cry out. They are dumb. They don't have a voice. They have no comprehension of anything. But yet, the one thing that they will do if we refuse to do it is cry out God's glory. So praise his name all the time. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I wanted to drop a real quick reminder on we're getting closer to things, people finishing up plans for the West Virginia trip. Again, this is male only, guys only, just because of logistics, okay? Ain't got nothing against women helping out. Just don't. It's easier to focus on guys, okay? If you're a guy, it's easier to focus that way. But we have rooms reserved, so those of you that are needing to finalize vacation days or days off, go ahead. It's August 3rd, 4th, and 5th. We will leave early on Friday morning so we can get down there, enough time to maybe do a little bit of stuff, then go to our room the next Saturday. We have the whole day to work, and then we'll be heading back on the Sunday. But we're going to... All the money that we're being raised right now from the Compassion Cafe is going towards this trip, and we have other things that any monies that come in for it, and people are making donations and offerings to that. So we're going to go down and try to help out some other people. Amen? Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your love. Father, we thank you that you are a good God. You are not abusive. You are not cruel. You are not mean. But you loved us so much that you gave. And now, Father, we give because we love you. We give because you have said, if you will do this, I will bless you. And so, Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offerings. Lord God, this literally represents our blood, sweat, and tears. Father, I pray that you bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed.
Oh. Quick announcement about the nursery kids.
Oh, pause.
Starting today, I know it might take a minute for us to get regrouped on it, but starting today, we're going to ask parents to deliver your children to the nursery, and then after service, your children will wait in the nursery for you to pick them up. It has to be a parent or guardian to pick them up, okay? We're just trying to get things a little more streamlined.
Protect your children is what we're doing.
For protection, and we thank you very much.
All right, unpause.
And of course, the nursery workers will stay with your child until you come pick them up.
Yes. Yes, nursery workers.
Oh, and so like one other note for the rest of us is if you know somebody's child is in the nursery, don't like get them in a deep conversation till they go get their child so that can happen quickly. Thank you.
Yes, we've had rules established for a while, but we've just kind of gotten a little slack on them, but we really feel we need to stay on them. So we're reenacting these and for the protection of our children. Because the first room that we get done over here in the middle is going to be the new nursery. They will have their own room. There will not be an exterior door, that door should always be locked during service. But anyhow. Well, praise God. How many of you truly know what it means to be born again? Most of us have a really good idea, don't we? Do you know why you get born again? That's the question. Why must I be born again? Why must I do this? See, I'm one of those guys, I have questions. Why do I got to do that? I can just do this. I don't have to do that. I really am a simple man. Just keep it simple. And, you know, over the last couple weeks, I've been thinking about this. There's been a few songs I've listened to talking about various things. And I said, God, you know, I understand what I'm about to teach you. But I want people to understand. And honestly, I wish today that this place was packed. You were stacked like cordwood in here, okay? That's how important people need to understand what it means to be born again. It's not saying a prayer. It's something more. So we're going to look at some things this morning. But I'm going to jump off. I didn't give her the scripture, so it's not going to come up. But in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, don't have to turn there because I'm paraphrasing it. God said, looked down. He saw the evil that was going on the earth. And he said, my spirit will not strive with man forever. He said, for he is indeed flesh. In other words, he is now 100% flesh. Everything he does is to satisfy the flesh of his body. Okay? He doesn't think about spiritual things. He thinks solely about your flesh. We know that we are a three-part being, right? We have a spirit. That is you. That is the eternal part. You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Okay? Dogs have souls. Animals have souls. But they are not spirits. And you have a body. But out of these three things, here's what screams the loudest. That flesh. That body screams, I want to do what I want to do. I want this. I want that. Even though it may not be necessarily good for us or good for somebody else. I want to drive 180 miles an hour. I'd like to do it once. Just once. I ain't going to lie. Listen, if you ain't ever been over 100, I had a Mustang. And as soon as I hit 100, the front end of that thing starts trying to come off the ground. I've been to 100 on my motorcycle, and that's just nuts. A butterfly could take you off at that speed. There's a certain thrill. The flesh wanted it. The spirit is saying, do you think you really ought to do this? Or maybe it could be anything, folks. It could be anything. And so God said at this point, I'm going to finish this out because most of you will go in there and you'll look at it later and say, oh, it says that he limited man's years to 120. This part of scripture, honestly, is a little bit been interpreted wrong, I believe, because if you actually do a timeline, you will find out that from about the time that God said this to the time Noah went into the ark was 120 years that he preached. The book of Enoch backs that up. Because how many of you know, how old was Abraham? He lived quite a bit longer after this. He was 175 when he died. So if God said he's only going to be 120, why did Abraham go 55 years over? Why aren't we living to 120? Because God said his days are numbered from this point on. And I do not believe, this is my opinion, I do not believe time on earth began, as far as aging, until Adam and Eve sinned, or Adam sinned. Because God said, in that day, and if we go to Peter, and we see Peter says, well, a day in the Lord is as 1,000 years. Adam, I believe, was 965 years old. So he was shy of a day in the Lord. Just saying, just to help you understand it. I like throwing little tidbits out there. So God said, man has indeed become completely flesh. All he thinks about is evil now. Now, when you got saved, when you became born again, did evil thoughts suddenly stop coming to your mind? No. As a matter of fact, sometimes they went overdrive, right? And then you're just like, ah! I want to so bad just rip their lips off, Lord. God says, you can't do that now. You are a spiritual being. You are no longer flesh. When our flesh and our spirit decided they wanted to become one when Adam sinned, because that's what happened. Adam looked at it and he listened to his soul that said, you are hungry. It looks good. And his spirit says, but you know what God said? And he said, you know what? I'm going to listen to the flesh because it looks good. So we became suddenly a flesh being. That is why when we are born, the Bible says we are born into sin. We are born in a fallen nature. That is why we need to be born again. We are born in that fallen nature. So when we come out, it's all about us. Right? Especially when we're babies. Babies can't think about other people. We have no way of finding that out because none of us can really remember. I've heard people, I remember when I was two. No, you've heard the stories from when you were two. You might have glimpses of visions of things, but you will not have a full-on memory of what people said, when they did it, and how old you were. My oldest memories are starting around three. And even then, they're spotty at best sometimes. So we start thinking solely about our flesh. That's why we have to teach our children. It's okay to share. We have to teach our children to care and think about other people. I think, honestly, that's why it is a good thing that there's a sibling, at least one sibling. You have to learn to share a little bit. Now, having said that, let me state this. If you've got multiple siblings, don't take everything from one child and make them share it. You will make a selfish adult is what you were going to make. Or somebody who has no self-esteem because they never had anything of their own. So when you have to share something, you need to understand why. I told Angela, I said, you know what? And said, it hit me. One of the things I always wanted was my own room. I was the oldest of five. Can't tell you how many winters all five of us were in the same room because it was cold. From the age of four on, I shared a room. Up to that point, I had my own bedroom. I had a race car bed that my dad built in the room. It was so big we had to leave it because they could not get it out the door. It's one of those deals, you build something inside a room and forget that the door's only so big. Okay? It was cool. I remember it was, he covered it in orange Naga hide, and I would run my little matchbox cars up and down. It was shaped like a Formula One car. And I'd run my cars up and down around that thing, and then my sister was born. Well, then my toy box got a little smaller. Then my dresser, I got less of my dresser, which she actually has. My dresser from before. Mom kept painting it and painting it and painting it, and finally, I can't believe the thing's still together. It's pressed wood from 1972. But she's got it. And then her crib came in. Well, then her toys came in. And I had to learn to start sharing. And then a year later, I had a brother. Really had to start learning to share. You know, when their kids 5 to 6 years younger, they don't take care of their toys the same way you do. Because by the time he was my age, I was 10, 11, and I took care of my stuff a little better. And so we have to learn to share things. But anyhow, going on about what I learned, from the time I was four, I've never had my own room. That's it. So I gave up on that. I joined the Marine Corps and had to share a room first off with 80 guys. Then I got it down to six. And then I got it down to one. And that was it. But it's no big deal. I got a whole house. That's why the barn is mine. The house, it's yours. She let me decorate the guest room. Every man in here knows the truth. But the barn is mine. Why do you think we do this? No. The barn's mine. So we've had to actually learn to start sharing things. We've had to start being taught how to get along with people. Start thinking about our decisions. Well, I'm going to dig a hole here in the middle of the road. Well, what about the guy coming down the road who can't see the hole? Oh, I don't care about him. So we actually have to be taught this stuff because there's a reason we don't do certain things. So then in John chapter 3, I'm actually going to read it off the thing. John chapter 3, verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, I'm going to pause right there real quick. It says he cannot see the kingdom of God. Did Jesus not say, my kingdom is not of this earth? So we cannot see the kingdom of God physically. It's not in the flesh. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. God is a spiritual being. Can he develop a body? Yes, but they can. Spiritual beings do not sustain the bodies. Even angels, when they came, they could only be for so long. There was part of the problem with the fallen angels in the book of Genesis. They overstayed their welcome. They crossed over. There's all kinds of theories and stuff going on there. The Bible really does not talk about them, so I'm not going to try getting into them today. Or maybe ever. Next. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now we all know that's a physical impossibility, is it not? Yeah. Yeah, those of you ladies that had to push out them babies, you're like, hallelujah, amen, thank the Lord, no. That 8-pound baby was hard enough. I'd hate to see the 150-pound baby. So Jesus answered, unless I see you, one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We need to be born of water. What is this being born of water? This is water baptism. At this time, in this particular chapter, John chapter 3, we read, Jesus actually after this goes and his disciples primarily are baptizing people in Judea along with John the Baptist. So he is indeed talking about water baptism. At this point in the life of Christ, being water baptized was not in a part of his death, burial, and resurrection. It was symbolic of entering back into the womb, a place of darkness, a place that was water-filled, and being come back out into the light, representing a new creation. You are no longer completely flesh. You have given birth to your spirit. Your spirit is dead until you become born again. That is the symbolism that we are talking about here. Oh, well, I've always been a bit of a spiritual person. Yes, but you've been a wackadoodle spiritual person. Until you get on board with God, I'm going to tell you, and sometimes it's a tough road to hoe being a Christian and understanding spiritual things. Today, I've seen people trying to tell you how to control demons, make them do what you want to do. Now, don't get on board with this garbage. Okay, there's some weird stuff starting to come out. You can do all kinds. Oh, you can go into next dimensions and stuff. Back the train up. Just don't even get on. Just turn the channel. I don't care whose channel it's on. Turn it off. We're crossing into some stuff. Listen, you need to understand, there's a lot of things Solomon understood. But here's one of the beliefs. They believe that Solomon, what really drove Solomon crazy, wasn't all of his wives. Now, come on, let's stop there. He had 300 wives and 700 concubines. The man had to be insane. And he had to provide for every one of them a place. The concubines may have just been a harem, but the wives had to have their own place. But they believe, because of certain writings, ancient Hebrew writings, that Solomon had gotten into some of, basically where the Kabbalah starts, into controlling demons and divulging into the demonic and the spiritual world. He is flesh. Do you understand that? Completely flesh. Thus the 300 wives and 700 concubines. Because anybody who is now spiritual will understand one is enough. Ladies, same thing with husbands. One is more than enough. So in reality, what he got into is he was trying to understand spiritual truths, control spiritual things, but he's a flesh and blood being. He was not born again. He did not have the capabilities of understanding what he was doing. Well, Pastor, don't you think we should do it? No! Again, stay away from it. You don't need to be talking to dead people. That's necromancy. Now, so we're born of the water and of the spirit. Same time. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the spirit. In other words, you see and feel the effects, but you have no idea. If it were not for science today, honestly, we still would have no idea what creates wind. Would we? High and low pressure systems. Do you ever notice that the windmills, or the wind turbines don't turn at night? Heat creates wind. So we got a lot of scientific things that back way back then, this was magic. No, we've actually grown and understood that there is science. God is the ultimate scientist. I mean, you can almost imagine God up here, his hair's all messed. Well, of course, Einstein wasn't really, I guess, a scientist as much as, I guess he was. But, you know, you could, God loves the stuff that he created. It's still going. That's what's so phenomenal to me. But the wind, we don't know where it's coming from. We don't know where it's going. Unless we see or feel the effects. We see the dust kick up. We see the leaves. Sometimes we see the trees. We know what kind of wind that is. Time to leave wind. But everyone who's born of the Spirit, we see and we feel the change. We feel the effect. But we have no idea where it came from. It's because it comes from God. It's not from us. We have to be born of the Spirit because he said in Genesis, he said, my spirit shall not abide. What took place in the book of Acts was God said, now my spirit can abide because they are new creations. They are no longer all flesh. See, churches that teach you just to just do what you want to do. It's all legal. Paul put it this way, it may be legal, but it's not beneficial. Okay? They can legalize pot all day long. It's not beneficial. Is there medicinal value in it? I don't know. If there is, control it and administer it properly. I'd rather take something natural than something that somebody said, hey, here, let's some Ajax and let's put a little bit of this and crank it up and sell it to them. God put herbs on this planet for us. Okay? I don't know that he said necessarily we need to be smoking it. Just saying. But I'm not telling you to go out and start finding medicinal marijuana. So anyhow, so things that are born of the flesh, they solely look for things of the flesh. Well, I want to go to this church. You know why I want to go? Just because I feel good in this church. I feel the air conditioning. I like the air conditioning. I like the surroundings. Would you like the surroundings at all if I took all the pretty stuff off the walls? Would it change the spirit in this church? No, not one bit. It's going to change the acoustics to awful. But it's not going to change the spirit. Okay? People search for churches on how they feel. I tell you, go to a church where God leads you to that church. That's your church. If God didn't lead you to that church, that was never your church. I'm not one of those that believes in church shopping. I kid you not, by the number of churches that I was drugged to, that just don't feel right. Do we not have a Holy Spirit that can tell us where to go instead of relying on our emotions? Well, they didn't welcome me. Was that? It was Kevin Hart. Yes. That what? Oh, it was a guy on doing Google ratings. Yes, not Kevin Hart. He was talking about something else. If you like him, you like him. If you don't, you don't. You don't have to judge me. Because he was talking about religious people. And it was actually kind of funny. Little foul mouth, but anyhow, this guy on Google ratings said people come in and they judge a church by whether or not they were greeted at the door. He's like, seriously, you can say hello yourself. Go up to, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm new here. But we make sure we have greeters. That's why we have them. So people do feel welcome. Well, you know, and I heard one family, well, the pastor didn't invite us out to dinner. They made sure I heard this. Pastor didn't invite us out to dinner after service. So I'm like, guess what? Neither am I. Because I know you, and personally, I don't like you. I'm going to be honest. Pastor just loves everybody. No, I love everybody. I don't like everybody. I like you guys. I can see some of you getting a little concerned there. No, I knew these people for years before. I was glad to see them go. When our paths parted 20 years earlier, it was my heart rejoiced. You know that Paul talked about that thorn in the flesh? Well, they were like an entire pitchfork to the flesh, to me. So if we're born of spiritual things, we won't get bent out of shape about whether pastor invites us out to dinner. Or, I've never been to pastor's. Most of you never been to my house. It's not because I don't want to. It's just because I'm still working on it. 5 years later, I'm still working. But when we start focusing more on the spiritual issues, we can be in a store, folks, and somebody can be having a fit. And the Holy Spirit can reveal something to us, and we can start praying right then about it. And the fit can stop. It can be controlled through spiritual means. Most of the stuff, there is a spiritual reason behind it. I'm not saying because you've got the common cold that you've got a demon trying to afflict you. Listen, stop and think about where you've been. You know, the one boy that that works for me, he got sick a while back. He got sick because they were cleaning out an area that was just full of bat guano. And he already had a weakened immune system. And he said, never knew you could get sick from bat poop, but I did. I said, well, yeah, you can get sick from any of it. You just got to be careful. Especially when it can get up into the air. I've been in areas where there's a lot of mold. Never bothered me. And then one time I crawled underneath our old church in Edison, crawled underneath the floors, sick as a dog the next day. And it was coated with mold. Never bothered me before. So, there's not always a demon trying to afflict you. There are certain things that happen in this earth in the flesh. You still have a spiritual authority over this stuff. You don't need to understand that. Oh, excuse me. When we understand, after we're born again, our spirit is renewed. It came out, and it's a whole new playground now. because our spirit should be separating away from the flesh, from the trying to be controlled by the flesh. That's why the Bible tells us that the spirit is will, or the flesh is the flesh. Spirit is weak. Yeah, yeah. We need to keep the flesh weak. If you're trying to fast something, you're like, God tells you, you know what, you need to cut out this TV show. Oh, but God, I love this show. Yeah, but you're no longer spending time with me. Well, how about if I spend the time that I'd be watching the nightly news? God says, you're asleep at that time. Well, then you're going to have to discipline yourself. That's my favorite show, but I need to fast that show and spend that time talking to God. You got to go for a walk. Go for a walk. Listen, people that are teaching you got to go crawl into a closet all the time to pray, or you got to be on your face on the floor. Physical displays of humility are just that, physical displays. The true display of humility is in the heart. It happens when people don't see what you're doing, how you're treating others. I'm 100 miles from home. Nobody knows me around here. I'm going to be a jerk. Yes, it is. It's a very small world. I have run into people from Central Ohio, 13,000 miles away from this place. I was watching a show the other day. You know, Everybody Hates Chris. Anybody seen it? Chris Rock narrates. It's supposed to be about his life growing up in Brooklyn. And he saved up his money, and he's going to take his girl he liked to a French restaurant. And he's like, I'm in a place nobody knows me. She thinks bad boys are cool. I'm going to be a jerk. So he starts talking and acting like a jerk to the waiter and all this stuff. His dad had won Employee of the Month award and was given a coupon to go there, same restaurant, to eat. And his mama, Terry Crews plays the dad, and he's afraid of mama. Okay? Terry's a big guy. And his mama says, is that Chris over there? And he's just being a jerk. Next thing, he's just being a jerk, and he lips off to his mom because he's caught up in this. And I'm going to tell you, this is a show I actually love because they show that belt hanging there to the side and everybody later whimpering. I'm like, yes. But anyhow, so it shows him lipping off and then it cuts to commercial. Next thing scene you have is Chris is laying in the hospital. He's got a bandage around his head. He's kind of hunkered up on the bed, his backside in the air, and the doctor comes in with the x-ray and says, well, hangs it up there and says, good news is, ma'am, I think we can get the shoe out. Bad news is, I don't think you'll ever be able to wear it again. See, when we get to acting like a jerk, God will always make sure somebody comes around to humble us. Because his girlfriend came in afterwards. Oh, is that your x-ray? We do not need to be jerks to be spiritual. As a matter of fact, I think most of the time we need to be a little more quiet if we're actually truly being spiritual. I love it when people come off and try to tell me all that they know in 5 minutes. Don't. If you can tell me everything you know in 5 minutes, you don't know squat. Okay? Don't care how spiritual you think you are, because if you're truly spiritual, you will first off have tamed your tongue. That's what James teaches us. If you think you are truly spiritual, you'll do this. But then they go on, the Bible tells us that if you want true religion, pure, unadulterated, care for the widows, the orphans, things like that. That's why I said last week, we're changing our... Prosperity is great. Prosperity is God's will for us. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to keep it in balance. When we have people starving to death and we think that telling them that Jesus loves them is more important than taking food to them, we've got a problem, a spiritual problem. That's my, you don't agree with me, you don't have to. That's the great thing about this country. I wish everybody in this country would realize that. You don't have to agree. But what I'm saying is we've got people who need, who are in need, and they need help. And if we can provide it, we will provide it. That's more spiritual than casting and than lining up 100 people and casting demons out of every one of them. Because unless you take care of the spiritual condition that's in them, they're going to walk back out the door and the demon's waiting outside the door for them. The addiction they were just delivered from was waiting right outside the door. Can't tell you how many times I've been in services where people, I've been freed from a drug addiction. They never came back to church. Guess what? They OD'd 6 months later. And I do know that one for a fact. I'm delivered. Well, you know, when you get delivered from something, you got to fill it, because otherwise that spirit is coming back looking, and he's coming back with buddies. That's what the Bible teaches. So, all right. Was that the last one I had of John? Okay, go to 1 Peter then. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. You want to know how to purify yourself? You start loving your brothers and sisters. That's how you're purifying. I heard it put this way one time. This husband and wife, they were talking, and the husband told me, you know, he's like, man, they were newlyweds. And he said, I told my wife, said, you got to back off a little bit. She says, well, God gave me to be your sandpaper. He said, even a carpenter knows you got to lift the sandpaper from time to time and see what you're doing. That's what we do for each other. Well, I don't like that person. I don't care if you don't like that person, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And this is what I know. It's why I'm learning to like everybody. Trying to find the best. That's what love does it not? It looks for the best. It doesn't mean you guys are going to go be buds all the time. It just means you love them. Okay? I don't get along with all my brothers and sisters, and we shared the same womb at one time. Just all the way it is. Nobody does. If you do, praise God, you are one of the few. But through the spirit of sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. We want to be purified. We purify ourselves by this. It stirs up love. Oh, Jerry and Joanne, there's a song by Craig Morgan called It's What I Love About Sundays. Some of you, if you're country fans, you've heard the song. I love the song. And he starts talking about being in church. And he starts talking about the people. And then the second verse, in the, or second line in this says, and there's the Martins come walking in. I always think of Jerry and Joanne. Now, unfortunately, in that one, they had a mean freckle-faced kid that broke a window last week. But we never, Isaac nor Aaron were like that. So maybe at home, I don't know. But here they were not. But I love hearing the song, because, in all honesty, because the guy starts talking, he says, sweet Miss Betty likes to sing off key in the pew behind me. You know, and it's like, you know, we realize this, do we not? And just because you sing off key don't mean you got to stop singing. That's what the rest of those that can sing, they're supposed to carry those of us who are having troubles maintaining the same note in the same stanza. So having been born again, we have been born again. If you have not been baptized, let me put it this way, you really have not been born again. Remember what I said about the water? The water was, even when Jesus, it's why Jesus did it. Because I don't know about you, for a long time I was like, God, why did your son have to be baptized? Other than to show us to do it. It was symbolic in his time of re-entering the womb and being born. He was born flesh. All flesh. We've got to keep that in mind when we think about Jesus. He was the same as you and me. He stubbed his toe. I don't think blessings to Jehovah were the first things on his mind. But the Bible says he was tempted every way we were, and yet he didn't sin. He got angry. And twice we know he made whips and went in and cleaned the church out. I don't think God has an... He'd have to send angels around now to clean out all the garbage out of churches. So now, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God does not go away. The words that God spoke in the very beginning when he started creating are still working today. And you know we have proof of this because of the Hubble Space Telescope. One of the best things I think they ever created. I love that thing. But we have now been born again. If we've been baptized on this side of the cross, when after the cross we were now baptized into Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That was now showing us that our old flesh is dead. We went down one thing, we came up another. He came out of the grave incorruptible. That's why he said, "Do not touch me. I have to present myself to the Father as incorruptible." When he was presented and the offering was accepted, then we started baptizing at that point from the standpoint of the death, burial, and resurrection. All the way up to that. I'm sure there were probably some of John's disciples that were baptizing if they hadn't scattered. There was probably some of them still baptizing, but they were baptizing in the womb. Going back to the womb, coming back out, and being born again. For us now, being born again means we are partaking of what Jesus Christ did. And we come up a new creation, just as he went in a new creation. We come up with the incorruptible seed. You got to remember, it's a seed. Everybody comes, "Oh, I got up and I'm totally changed. Praise God." But you know what happens? Monday morning shows up. And you stumble into the bathroom. You walk into the corner of the counter, jab that thing into your hip. Or somebody turns the lights on in your bed and you're like, "Ah!" You know, I don't know. What is your button? What is it that can trick you? Real easy. See, the truth of the matter is it's a seed. It has to grow. And if it doesn't get the chance to grow, it's going to die. See, salvation, the Bible tells us in Acts, I believe, chapter 16, where Paul and Silas were in prison and they were singing, and then all of a sudden this earthquake. The jailer comes in. He says, "Hey, I'm going to kill myself because all the people are gone." Paul says, "No, whoa, whoa, stop. We're all here." And he came running up to Paul and he said, "Sirs, what do I have to do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." To be saved, you have to believe. To be born again, you have to be baptized. It's the symbolism. But when the symbolism happens, there is a change that takes place. That is why you can actually, if you're like one of those people that says, "God, Pastor, I've really failed at this thing." And that's why I recommend anybody that's ever walked away from God to be rebaptized. Do it. "Well, you can only be baptized once." Says who? You can go home, your husband or your wife can baptize you in the tub. Now, husband or wife, remember to let off of the back of the head. You're not trying to drown them. If you got a pool, we've baptized in many pools. Well, it does. Just make sure you aren't on hot or ice cold. You might get slugged. And then we got to rebaptize again. But we are growing. The seed has got to have the word of God to feed. Every plant needs food. And the seed of what is planted in us, the incorruptible seed, needs the word of God. That's why you need church. That's why we need each other. We need church. We need the Bible. We need to know the Word of God. I'm not saying you got to memorize every scripture. Get you a couple. Start memorizing a couple that really mean something to you. Well, Pastor, I can't remember it exactly the way it's written. That's okay. The way we've got it written isn't the exact way it was written, because it was written the other direction and in two different languages. There's a scripture. I always remember it. Run to win. The Apostle Paul talks about running for a crown, where only one person wins a crown. There's a message in there. I'm going, it's coming up. Something hit me the other day. Boy, I can't wait to tell that one. But I believe it's 1 Corinthians, somewhere in there. But anyhow, all I remember is run to win. I know it's scripture. Run to win. Run as if I'm going to win. There's only one crown and I'm running for it. So what we do is we first off teach people, you got to memorize all these scriptures to get people saved. No, you don't. That ain't going to help them in their walk. Let me ask you this. Is a young lady ready to have a child at 9 years old? No. Her body's not ready. Mentally, she's not ready. The older she gets, though, her body starts changing. It starts growing. It develops. Her mind starts changing. It starts developing more. And then her body becomes ready to reproduce. So why is it we take new believers and the first thing we do is we got to throw them out in the streets to the wolves and say, you got to reproduce right now? Hello? Even God said, there's got to be time for you to grow up. You know, I wouldn't send any of my boys out hunting wolves. No. Would I go hunting a wolf? From a tree, yes. Wolves are not like coyotes. Wolves are this tall. Coyotes are this tall. Big difference. What's that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't hunt wolves. Wolves hunt you. And I'm not an adrenaline junkie that needs that thrill. Climbing up the tree right now would be enough of an adrenaline rush for me. So when we're baptized, folks, we are born again as a new spiritual creation. Nothing changed in your body. But you are born anew in the spirit realm. In the spirit, you come up. Your sins didn't get washed away when you got baptized either. You know, I love that song by Randy Travis. It's funny about all the fish dying and all that stuff because of his sins. But the truth of the matter is, the only death that had to occur was Jesus Christ. That. All your sins were forgiven at that point. Did you know that? All your sins were already forgiven. You just had to receive it. Let me tell you what that's kind of like. You're sitting here playing, oh God, God, I need a new car. I need a new car. And God said, all you got to do is receive it. It's right there. You just have to receive. Oh, I can't take charity. I am not against charity. It means love.
That's right. Yes.
When we're born again, new spiritual beings, folks, that's when this world can change. When we understand that. It's not about getting numbers in the seats of being baptized or on our books. That's where most people are concerned. There are people that teach you aren't saved until you've been baptized. No, you need to be baptized to be born again. To be born again is the way you see the kingdom of heaven. I've told you before, I believe that there are two people that just got saved, but they didn't get baptized. So they didn't change. They didn't grow spiritually. And if you're sitting, well, I've never been baptized and I don't see any point in it. Well, I'll tell you what, how about we baptize you and see how much different your life is on the other side of the grave? There's something that takes place spiritually. You went into water dry and came out wet. Physically, that's all that took place. But spiritually, things began to change. I'm going to tell on Pat again because I've always told this on him before. But his ex-wife told him one time, he said, you know, there's a change in you. And this occurred after we baptized him. And he told her straight up, he said, yeah, I know there's a change. I used to hate you. He was able to let go of the hate. It's a spiritual condition. He couldn't let go of it physically. We want to try to let go of this stuff in the flesh, and we can't because it's a spiritual thing. And when we mature enough and we can get past all that and we can change, people see it. That's why John or Jesus said, the wind blows and you don't know where it's going or what it's doing, but you feel it. You see what it does. That's what happens when you're born again. And by the way, the Bible says that those who are born again see the kingdom of God, and there are those who will inherit the kingdom of God. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you've been baptized. Unless you've been born again, a new creation. I believe people that got saved, because there's actually more things, we've just never really delved into them. Everybody wants to stay right here on the top. I actually want to get into some of this stuff because there's some things people need to understand. The Bible says, I believe we're going to see people in heaven we didn't expect to see there. But it don't mean that they were the elect. Okay? I know people that got saved on their deathbed. They never had a chance for baptism. Did they go to heaven? I believe they went to heaven, but I don't believe they will inherit the kingdom that the Apostle Paul talks about or that Jesus talked about. So, for us to be born again means we are baptized. It is a symbolism of us coming out of the grave. Born again, a new creation, a new spiritual creation that can overcome. It can crucify the flesh. That's how you crucify the flesh. If you've never been born again, wow. If you've never been born again or baptized, and you're like, wow, I've just struggled and struggled and struggled all my life. Well, right here is part of the reason why. You've never been born again. You aren't a new spiritual creation. Your flesh and your spirit are still connected. And the flesh overpowers. Well, I've got more discipline and control. No, you don't. Adam didn't. And Adam was the covering for all of mankind. And he couldn't do it. Jesus came, he was baptized with water, born again, and then he set the new standard for us. Standard, like I said, that is actually a little tougher road to hoe than just, well, I don't do anything on the Sabbath, I don't eat certain meats, I don't do this, I don't do that. When Jesus came up and Paul and Peter and all of them started getting this revelation of what Jesus did, they said, well, I can eat. I can eat what I want to eat. You know, we can eat. There's nothing on this planet you cannot eat. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I have yet to look at a buzzard and say, I wonder what that tastes like roasted. There's a reason nothing else eats a buzzard. They're nasty. I've never looked at that. Neighbor's chickens running down the road, I've often thought, Yeah, if you want, there's doves usually in the parking lot. If you want to try dove. Yep. We're having chicken tonight. So what Peter was trying to get understood was he had to get away from the law and understand things spiritually. Not that God wanted him going eating buzzards. You know, there were certain, again, going back to the law, most of it, if you look into it, was about caring for your body and what's good and what's not. You weren't supposed to eat things that eat meat. There was a reason. You know why all these diseases started happening overseas? It's because they were grinding up meat and putting it into the feed of animals that weren't supposed to eat meat. And it made them sick. Now, can you eat an alligator? Yeah, I've tried it. I don't desire it. And I'm all too happy when Troy Landry shoots one. But there's people that love it. I like catfish to a degree. I don't eat it all the time. Why? Because it's one of the fish that God said you don't eat in the Old Testament. It doesn't have scales. Why? It's a bottom feeder. It's a filter. You want to know what I'm talking about? How many of you got a water filter on your house? Most of, if you don't, I would recommend putting one on. You'd be surprised what you catch. Go down there and look at that and say, I want to drink that water out of that filter. Yeah, that's not what you want to do at all, is it? You're like, I think I'm going to go on the other side of the softener, out of the spigot where I can't see that filter. That's why God was doing it. Can you eat catfish? Yeah. Done right, catfish is good. But I prefer perch or something else. See, I'm not talking about steak. It was pointed out to me 2 weeks in a row that I talked about steak. But anything that eats meat, you're not supposed to. That's why God was so hard on pork. Y'all, those of you who don't know, hogs are cannibals. They'll eat each other. Which concerned me when I was working on hog barns, and they'd all be trying to pull on my pant leg, trying to pull me off of the rails while I was trying to work on them. Because I know one person that was killed by pigs, so and they'd never find me in that barn. There was probably 500 in that one pen alone. But see, today we don't feed them meat. Back then they fed them whatever. Today it's strict. It's corn. It's very strict. So the law that God separated us from after Jesus resurrected, but applied a stronger law, the law of love. Okay? It means I have to now think about how my actions, what I'm doing, are going to affect other people. That's when you become more of a spiritual person. Not, well, you know, I'll tell you right now, I've seen demons. And you know what? I've seen them too. And to be honest with you, they scare the bejeebers out of you. Oh, I want to cast out my first demon. No, you don't. I can promise you, you don't. So, being spiritual isn't about doing all that. Well, I want the meat of the word, Pastor. It sounds like you're going back to baptism, and it sounds like you're talking about the milk of the word. Well, I'll tell you one thing that never, ever, ever hurts your body unless you're lactose intolerant, which is a problem with the flesh, is milk. I don't care how old you get. You got to have vitamin D for your bones. You've got to have this stuff. Don't think just because we're sitting here talking today about water baptism. Listen, this is just as much meat, if you understand what I'm talking about, as anything else. Well, I understand how to bring the blessing of God down. Like, so do I. Just obey God. That's it. I don't have to dance around a pole, run around my church shouting, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, to invoke the blessing of God into my life. But I've heard people try to say that. But if you ain't, you know, if Pastor ain't up here dancing and shouting and hallelujah, then the church is going to, listen, a lot of you are a lot like me. You cut loose at certain times, but it ain't all the time. And I hope to God you're not doing it for a show. I was at one church and the same couple came down and they weren't even married. They would come down to the front. This is a church that was 1,200 people. They would come down to the front to dance. What, like the 10-foot wide aisle that you walked down wasn't big enough? You had to come to the altar? Why we call this an altar, I don't know. I mean, I got it back in the day, but listen, it's a stage. And there's a lot of performances happening on them today that have nothing to do with the gospel. So you want to grow up? You've been baptized. If you're born again, you are it. You have the incorruptible seed. Get in the word. You get in the word. Let me say that again. You get in the word for yourself. Don't sit down with Kenneth Copeland and do a study. Don't sit down with Jensen Franklin. Do your study. You sit down and do it with the Holy Spirit. That's where you're going to get it. God gave us these teachers and even me to give you just a little bit so that you will go further, so that you'll sit down and say, I just got that. And then you come to me and say, yeah, I've taught on it for the last 6 months. But you just got it with the Holy Spirit revealing it to you. That's how you get revelation. You might get a tidbit or something. I mean, there's been times I've watched Jensen Franklin. I'm like, man, that. Thank God we can back things up on TV today. That was good. That's all I got out of the half hour program. Was 30 seconds. But it's all I needed. I didn't get anything else out of it because at that point, that was the light went off. And I was stuck. But that's what will happen. You want to grow stronger? I can pray until I'm blue in the face. I can pour oil on you until Exxon is ready to start putting the jack pump on top of your head. You ain't going to get any more revelation than understanding that, first off, you need to be born again so that you're a spiritual being. Second off, get in the Bible. It's why the Bible tells us that the Word is the only thing that stays. Peter went on to say right after that, that we are like grass. Here one day, gone another. Our glory is like the flowers of the field. It's here for a short time and then it's gone. But he said the Word of God never leaves. The Word of God in your life is what you need. Now you can read in the law, the Leviticus is primarily law. But get in the book. You got to understand, you got to see what they went through and then come back on the other side and see the revelation Paul and these apostles had of the goodness of God from that. I will tell you one thing, and I'm going to leave it here, that I did get out of Kevin Hart. He was talking about his dad. His dad was not a good man. And he said, I will say this, though. He said, my dad made me what I am today. His dad was awful. He was abusive. He was an alcoholic and drug addict. And he said, but because of him, I have a platform. Joyce Meyer's father made her what she is today. Yes, it's heartbreaking. But how many millions of people is she helping? If what I had to go through helps one person, then it's worth it. If what you had to go through helps one person, then it's worth it. But guess what? It's not just one person we get to help. Because God brings people to us. They are attracted. I don't know why I'm here. Sit and listen. God gave you one mouth and two ears for a reason. Listen to them. They will tell you why they're there. And then you're like, bing, right there's why God brought you here. Right there's why I'm here. You can help them. Well, Pastor, I didn't get them saved. That's not the point. You planted a seed. Paul put it this way. I planted a seed. Barnabas, he watered the seed and somebody else harvested the seed. But we all got credit. So I don't care how many people got saved directly every week in this church. Because the effects going out, I don't know how many people listen on the internet. Maybe nobody. I don't know. I don't care. Because God didn't call me to be an internet sensation. He said, I want you here. For you. All right, let's stand. Do I have anything else? Nothing? Okay. All right. Yeah, just a reminder, parents who have little ones, you do need to go get your children. Just a reminder. You might walk out and say, where's my kids? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus Christ to first off teach us about being born again. And then, Father, to be the sacrifice that would cross over and change the law, would fulfill the law, would change the way that we are perceived. Father, that we may now have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Father, just as was proved in the book of Acts. Father, I thank you and praise you for the many things that he did. Father, I thank you for the revelation that people are going to start getting, Father, as they've understood that they're water baptized, they are now born again. As if they're born again, they are now new creation. They are new creation. They have the incorruptible seed that is totally separate. They are now a spiritual being. Father, I thank you and praise you that they're getting revelation of their authority, their abilities in your word. Father, not to perform magic tricks, but to walk holy before you. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I bless them. Father, I thank you that as they go out, Father, that just little words that they speak to people in kindness and in love will plant seeds that will grow and flourish in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah.